Good morning, everyone. And boy, 2,000 plus years ago, this morning would have been one of those days where you would have said at the end of it, "Oh, that was a good day." Wouldn't it? Genuinely. I don't know about you. Sometimes you have better days than others. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, some days are better than others. It appears from our perspective, but let's just rejoice in the fact that what we're celebrating today is a good day.
Amen.
And when we say good morning to each other, emphasize the good. Wow. Here's a voice speaking, calling her name. It's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I feel like we're sitting, in a sense, on something so dynamic, so powerful. Dare I say it, so explosive. We're somehow, miraculously, containing the incontainable. Oh, how wonderful. And even the most trembling prayer of faith to the risen Lord today thwarts all the plans of the enemy. Glory to his name. He's risen. Christ is risen. There we go. A picture's come up. If you want to say hallelujah, if you just want to, I'm so glad Dave said, let's have a few minutes to express. This has got to be expressed. It's inexpressible. But I encourage you to express it. This is joy inexpressible and full of glory. Bless the Lord. This is something to be excited about. I got excited yesterday when Lee told me Liverpool had won Crystal Palace away from home 2-1 when I last heard they were down 1-0. And he came and helped us start our car, which had broken down in Tesco, but that's a whole other story. And while he was helping me, he just said, Liverpool won 2-1. I got so excited. And that's great. But that's nothing, nothing compared to this. Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. Glory to his name. This is worth shouting about and singing about and rejoicing with all our hearts. Bless the Lord. Don't worry, you don't have to be extrovert and effervescent. That's fine. I'm a little bouncy when I think about Jesus. I'll give you that. It's fine, you can be totally quiet, but let that joy well up. Oh, glory to his name. The joy of the Lord. The Lord is our joy. And he's our strength. I've got 5 words for you in 20 minutes, Dave. Keep time for me. 5 words in 20 minutes, and I'm going to give you them right now in case I don't get through them. Okay, so we're thinking, obviously, about the Lord and the fact that he's risen. Oh, hallelujah. So in a moment, we're going to look at the reality of this. Okay, the reality. Yeah? You have to excuse my voice, it's a little croaky. I'd like you to turn just to Luke 24 with me. So we're going to talk about the reality. We're going to talk a little bit about revelation. And then in the light of the reality and the revelation, we're just going to think about remembering, returning and rejoicing. Okay, so you've got the reality, you've got the necessity of the revelation, and in the light of these two, oh, bless the Lord, remember, return and rejoice. Is this going to work? I hope it does. Morris has already reminded us of this. Can anyone tell me anything really wonderful about this picture? What do you think when you see this picture? Any word pop into your mind?
Empty.
Empty. Hello. Empty. Empty. Normally I like things full. I'm a half full kind of guy. But today I'm so glad for the emptiness. Oh, hallelujah. It's empty. Listen, this guy Paul Althus said... Oh, I'm going to have some water. Sorry. Bear with me. Paul Althus said, the resurrection proclamation could not have been maintained in Jerusalem for a single day, for a single hour, if the emptiness of the tomb had not been established as a fact. A fact, my friends, a fact. We're talking about reality. We're talking about truth. We're talking about historical, robust, watertight truth. Now, let's read in chapter 24. We're just going to read down to verse 12. I'd love to read the whole chapter because it's so absolutely stunningly wonderful and thrilling. But let's just read 12 verses for the sake of time. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in, and they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. I love the fact that the tomb was empty. I love the fact that in this context, they didn't find what they were looking for. Glory to God for His wonderful surprises. Sometimes we're looking for something and we think that's the answer. And by His grace, He does it again and again in our lives. We don't actually find what we're looking for. Because actually, who we're to find is the risen Christ. Oh, bless the Lord. You too sang about that, didn't they? Still haven't found what I'm looking for. These dear people were looking and they were expecting to find the dead body. In their grief and sorrow, I'm so glad they didn't find what they were looking for. Oh, hallelujah. It's empty. And this is true. It's a reality. Now, let's read down. Sorry, I'm going to have to stick to my guns here. Otherwise, I'm seriously going to be pushing those 20 minutes. So, they found the stone rolled away. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 4, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. Oh, I love it. Greatly perplexed. Ever been greatly perplexed? And behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. We've already had this from Morris in picture, haven't we? Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. I love the fact that it was the ladies who were there. And they went and told the fellas. That's good, isn't it? Anyway, that's just an aside. Verse 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. The words of those women seem to the fellas like idle tales. I'm telling you, fellas, it's reality. It's reality. It might have seemed like idle tales. You know, there's people in our culture today. There's a big movement of secular atheism. And they are saying that faith in Christ is idle tales. They're saying that faith in Christ is like believing in fairy tales. I want to state boldly and conclusively, we don't have much time to go into all the details, but there's loads of resources. If you don't know about them, have a chat after. I can point you to some. This is factual truth. Watertight, robust truth. This is not idle tales. This is proven. Glory to God. And there's evidence that demands a verdict. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the apostles, the women came and told them. They'd seen these things, and to them it seemed like idle tales. Well, the Lord was going to put that right soon, wasn't He? Oh, bless the Lord. It's reality. Oh, hallelujah. Their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Isn't that amazing? Huh. But Peter, oh, what's going on in that man? Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marvelling to himself
at what had happened. And then you get the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. Cleopas and who? I like to think it was his wife, but anyway. There's some evidence for that, but there they are. And then we see disciples' eyes opened and all kinds of wonderful stuff and appearances of the risen Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And he appears to the disciples. He opens eyes. He reveals himself in the breaking of bread, in the scriptures. Oh, praise God. So, let's move on in just a moment. So we're thinking about reality. Now, kids, if you're still listening, I commend you. Because I've spoken at an enormously fast rate with lots of words. Please forgive me if this sounds a little complex, but a guy called Professor Thomas Arnold, who for 14 years was a headmaster of rugby and author of the famous History of Rome, said, "I have been used for many years to study the histories of other times, to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them, and I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer that the great sign which God has given us, that Christ died and rose again from the dead." Glory to God. Another scholar said, raking all the evidence together. I like that analogy. Raking it all together. It's not too much to say that there is no historic incident better or more variously supported than the resurrection of Christ. Nothing but the antecedent. Anyone know what that means? Just the previous assumption that it must be false could have suggested the idea of deficiency in the proof of it. Basically, they're saying you have to be militantly predisposed to not go for this, to see it as not true. It is blindingly obvious. If you objectively look at the facts. Glory to God. It's true. I know I'm preaching to the converted, but I need to say it out loud. And shout it out. You kids, when you go to school and hear your contemporaries, even in primary school, saying Jesus is a fairy tale, he's not real. It's not true. He is. And he's risen from the dead. Glory to God. And you, dear children, can be equipped with the facts. And you can stand for Jesus and proclaim his name. And by his grace, let him live out his goodness through you. And counteract all the malicious attempts of the enemy to silence his voice. Oh, the voice that spans the years. Hallelujah. So let's go very quickly to Revelation. You might be convinced of the facts, but the facts on their own are not sufficient. Lots of people have researched the facts and they've come to the conclusion it's absolutely true. But you know what? Then, by God's grace, and each one of us need to know the revelation of Christ the King. Even Mary thought he was the gardener. And you know what he did? He revealed himself by speaking her name. You know the people on the road to Emmaus? They didn't know who he was. It says their eyes were, I've forgotten the exact phrase, restrained. Their eyes were restrained. They didn't know him. And then it says later, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Who did that? Jesus. Have you had your eyes opened by Jesus? The risen Lord, has he opened your eyes? You know, we have to be open to the miraculous power of Jesus in our lives. In revelation power. Glory to his name. Oh, bless him. Praise. I wish we were could have sung that song. Oh, praise the name of the Lord Most High. We need this revelation. May the God, this is what Paul prays for the Ephesians. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be opened. They weren't doubting the historicity of the resurrection of Christ, but they needed, knowing that was factually true, they needed, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelation. The eyes opening. It's a miracle. It's as big a miracle as coming up from the grave. I know that sounds a bit extreme, but it is. That's what God does by his grace when he works in our lives. He raises us from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. How wonderful. So, reality. Are we okay? We've done two. Yeah, we're okay. 5 minutes. Going to whiz through these. Remember, not you're a womble. Remember, in the context of the passage, remember the word that he spoke. Can I just throw that out there? By God's grace, possibly prophetically, listen, people of God, remember the word he spoke to you, though it may not yet be fulfilled in your life. Remember it. Amen. Glory to God, remember it this morning before him. And say, yes, Lord, your word, nothing else, your word, spanning all of history. Oh, glory to his name. Remember the word of the Lord. Listen, it says here, he's not here, the angels say. Remember how he spoke to you. Not just what he said, how he spoke to you. Remember, what did the Lord speak to you? What has he spoken to you? Remember. This morning, resurrection morning, remember the word of the Lord. Remember the word of the Lord. Oh, bless him. Bless his wonderful name. There are other areas we could look at, but I'm just aware we're on a runaway train here. Oh, praise God, I'm so excited. Seriously, I was absolutely devastated on Friday. Completely done for. As I saw just a version, a reenactment of what happened to my Lord. And 1 minute I was, no, it's so wrong. It's so wrong. Next minute, I was the one who nailed him there. It was my sin. Mine, personally. I'm personally responsible. And the weight of that just hit me afresh. Oh, precious Saviour. I tell you what a turnaround. Seriously, just, I know it's not our emotions, but boy, I've been on a roller coaster. Friday, I was done for. This morning. What a turnaround. It's a game of two halves, my friend. It's better than Istanbul 2005 if you're a red. Way better, game of two halves. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, when we thought it was all over, when we least expected it, up from the grave he arose. Come on. Imagine what Mary must have felt. Seriously, she wouldn't have been containing it when she heard her word spoken, her name spoken. She would have been utterly beside herself. Remember. Yeah. Remember, glory to God. You can read about remembering in Dear Peter when he's an old man. Read his letters and get onto that. He remembered, didn't he, when Jesus looked at him as he came out of the judgment hall. He remembered and was broken. And now, he's remembering. And you're just feeling the, is it possible? No, surely. Oh, glory, glory to God. Remember, return. Oh, when you remember, perhaps you realise you've moved a bit away from close proximity with the Lord. You know, it's good to have the theology all nicely sewn up. But in our practical daily living, we have to be honest. We have to be honest. Don't just hold on to good theology. Get back to the Lord. If you've moved away, return. Run back. Like the prodigal son, get back to Father. That's a whole theme in itself, isn't it? Return. So remember. Are you getting these? Remember. Return. Return. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord. I feel a song coming on, but I'm not going there. Shall return. Yeah? And they'll come with singing unto Zion. And these are all returning. It's interesting. All the references to return in this chapter, they're returning to Jerusalem. Oh, praise God. Everlasting joy, hello. Hello, let's go there. Rejoice. Oh, praise his name. 2 minutes, Dave. The joy is just wonderful, isn't it? You cannot quench the joy of the Lord. We can quench things in our own lives, but the joy of the Lord is unquenchable because it's the Lord. He's the joy. Do you get that? Sometimes we think of joy as some sort of separate entity. But actually the Lord is the joy of heaven. Joy of heaven to earth come down. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you think the Lord is rejoicing? Well, there's plenty of scriptures to suggest so. Even this morning, rejoicing over us with singing. I mean, it's truly staggering. Rejoice. 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 And it says in... I've got 1 minute. Can I just do one more verse, Dave? Luke 24:41. I just love this. I love it. You read it at home. Easter bank holiday tomorrow. You've got all the time in the world. Read Luke 24 and all the other accounts as well. It's just so wonderful. But while they still did not believe for joy. I love that, don't you? They're just trying to take it all in. It's just too much for them to get. And it says, while they still did not believe for joy. Oh, praise him. And this just this most wonderful, wonderful little thought. While they still did not believe for joy and they marvelled, he said to them, any food? Don't you just love him? This is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He's just come out of the tomb. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's the most staggering, astounding miracle the world has ever seen or will ever see, in one sense. And they're all just like, no way, this is just so huge. And the Lord goes, any food? The reality, you see, he was really risen. He was showing them. And it was really down to earth, somehow, amazingly. I mean, this was just so out of this world, and yet it was so down to earth. Any food? I thought of our Evie. In any context. Bless you, Evie. I don't mean to highlight you publicly, but I'm going to just... any context. I'm hungry. Any food, the Lord says? Any food? I love it, don't you? Well, they still couldn't believe for joy. We're going to end with this. Peter says, we are to greatly rejoice in our salvation. The word there is to leap much. Now, I don't know if you've done a sort of statistical analysis of sort of jumps and leaps and sort of the continuum. But there, it's suggesting it's not just a little, a leap much. It's the kind that he went leaping and praising God. You know that song? This is, I'm not suggesting we do it actually. But inside, this is what it's saying, that we are to rejoice in our salvation in this manner. We are, internally, and sometimes it can pop out, and that's okay. But don't worry if it doesn't. But it's a leap much for joy. For joy, you've been raised from the dead. Your sins have been forgiven. The fact that he rose means everything he did at the cross is absolutely bang on and powerful and effective in our lives as we open to him. Again, this resurrection day. Oh, praise God. And then he says, though now you do not see him. He's talking about trials. Life is tough in this now and not yet. Absolutely. He says, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice. You rejoice. That's the same thing. With joy inexpressible and full of glory. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And that rejoice there in the psalm is spring about. I can see you getting a little nervous. Where is he going? I'm going nowhere with this. I'm just telling you what it says in the scripture. Rejoice. This is the day. This is the day. Oh, Dave, this is the day. Each one of you, this is the day. This is it. This is the day of salvation. Glory to his wonderful name. And may people hear, even this afternoon, may people see. May they have the revelation of the reality of what Christ has done. And may they remember, maybe from their childhood, may they return running back to their Father because of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And as a result, may joy just properly spring up in new waves of bubbliness. Glory to his name. Amen.